Hallelujah. Well, let's open our Bible to Mark 11. And of course, this is the story about the fig tree that Jesus cursed. And of course, in Peter calling to remembrance, saith unto the master, Behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Now, yes, the margins say have the faith of God, but I want to focus on that, just looking at it in this sense. Have faith in God. That's key. And I like the centenary translation. I like this. It says, take hold on God's faithfulness. So I like that. Take hold on His faithfulness. See, it's His faith that's been put in me, deposited in me. And some of the other, I like, you know, in talking about God's faithfulness, 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And the Good News translation of that scripture verse says, but the Lord is faithful, He will strengthen you and keep you safe from the evil one. Who's going to keep you safe? God is. The Lord is. Amen. You know, I was talking to Pastor Greg today, and I said, you know, God has been so faithful. We were just talking about this. God has been so faithful, not only to us personally, and I'm sure you also, but to this ministry. And over the years, you know, when you think about it, even before this ministry started, Pastor Clinton had a dissecting aneurysm. That in and of itself should kill you. So that which, see, if you just put aside people and personalities, put aside Pastor Clinton, put aside Pastor Sarah, put aside Pastor Greg, put aside me, whoever it is, the devil hated that which God raised up. He hates that which God stamps His approval upon. It's no different. Any ministry, I don't care if it's the Kenneth Hagin ministry and all the stuff, I hear all the stuff they've gone through, and all of the things that they've endured. He hates that which God has authorized. And so we were just talking about it today, how thankful, how appreciative we are that God has kept this ministry, kept it. There have been many things that could have wiped this ministry out. Just gone. There are things that we've experienced that could have taken out us individually. I remember, and this was before I was ordained in 2006, in 2000, I went through something with a stomach issue that I remember in July of 2000, the Holy Ghost, I'm in the shower, and the Holy Ghost said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of this year. So I had basically 6 months to live. And if I hadn't obeyed, I wouldn't be here. And then there were two other incidences, you know, where I fell asleep at the wheel doing ministry duties. And those two instances could have taken me out. Same with Pastor Greg. I mean, there are instances where, I mean, just over the summer, blood clots, all of these things that could have, if God didn't intervene, if he wasn't faithful to sustain you, you wouldn't be here. So you wouldn't be here. So much to be thankful for. God is faithful. He's faithful to me. He's faithful to this ministry. He's been faithful to Pastor Sarah. He's been faithful. And so we need to be thankful for that and take hold. And that's what Mark 11, 22 says. Have faith in God. Or the centenary says, take hold on God's faithfulness. He's faithful. And if you just think about that, and you kind of, you know, as Warner Wolf used to say, let's go to the videotape years ago. And you think about all of these things that you've walked through. God's faithful. And if he helped me here, if he did it here, if he did it here, if he did it here, he certainly. He's not a man that he's without, what does it say, without variableness, a shadow of changing. He changes not. He's faithful. Even when we're not, he is. Even when we're off in left field somewhere being stupid, he's faithful. Right? Even when we're in fear, he's faithful. When we're in doubt, he's faithful. So man, I mean, I just say thank you. Thank you for protecting me and the ministry and the sheep. Thank you. Hallelujah. So that's something to focus on. I want to look at that. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And keep in mind, have faith in God. 2 Timothy and the first chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 12. And I'm going to read from the King James. It says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Or in my margin, it says, for I know whom I have trusted. I like that. And am what? Persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So the key is, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to do what? Keep that which I have committed unto him. So it's important that we have faith in him. You're right there. Just keep flipping over to 1 John. You're familiar with this scripture. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 4, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But we could really say it's our faith in him, right? Because that's really what it is. It's our faith in him. Sometimes, and I'm sure you see this as you go through life, some of us may have even said this, you know, people have faith in a lot of things, right? They have faith in family. You hear, I've heard it. Hey, if we all just stick together, we can make it. Wrong. Now, there's nothing wrong with family and there's nothing wrong with sticking together, but if you think sticking together, you're going to make it, you're wrong. It says, what does it say? This is the victory that overcometh the world. What's going to overcome the obstacles? Your faith in God, not your faith in family and faith in sticking together. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you think you're going to overcome because of that, no, it's our faith and trust in Him. That's what's going to get us through. And sometimes when we're in those settings, we need to remind everyone in a family setting that it's but without His grace and without His assistance, we're not going through. We need His help. Take hold of God's faithfulness. Some have faith in other things. And I know that I'm not talking to anybody here, of course. It could be. I don't know. It's certainly not to shine a light on anybody. If anything, I shine a light on myself with the Word. But I've heard through the years, well, I can't live in the Northeast. It's too expensive, and I'm on a fixed income, so I have to move south. Have we heard that? I'm sorry to say, but that's true. Now, am I saying there's nothing wrong with moving south? No. But let's make sure the reason I'm moving south is because I'm getting direction from Him. Because you can move on down south and have some headaches. And all of a sudden, that which you thought would work doesn't work. See? So, and I'm certainly not saying that you shouldn't consider that, but it says, what does Proverbs say? Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Doesn't say, I don't look at the bills. It doesn't say, I don't look at my income. But it says, trust in God. Because God can open some doors up right where you're at to assist you and live and function. See? Hallelujah. I've heard this. Some people believe that if you work hard enough, you can get whatever you want. Isn't that true? People think, well, if I work hard enough, if I keep working and working and working, there are people that have had 2, 3, 4 jobs and are nowhere closer. And so what are we saying in all of this? Is it wrong to have 2 or 3? I remember me. So let me talk about me. Okay? I went through a period of life where it was a tough spot. I went through a divorce, and certainly not talking negative, but in that situation, let me just talk about that situation, I ended up being responsible for some things that I didn't incur. Let me say it in a nice way. So, legally, now I'm responsible, but here's the thing. And those days, I'm talking about in the day that I lived, the laws were not like they are today. Today, you had some recourse. You had some legal recourse. Back then, you were responsible. And the bill collectors were calling. And the bill collectors who called, I'd get 3, 4, 5, 6 calls right after another, cursing me on the phone, literally. MF, bit, bop, boop, bop, curse. And I remember one day, I wasn't as saved as I am now. This agency was in Spring Valley. And he was cursing me over the phone, and I'm in a professional business environment. And I said to this guy, I'm going to come down there and jack. Well, I said some things. And I did. And I was fired up. I said, don't you curse at me on the phone. And I hung that phone up and I proceeded to that agency and I was going to find out who this joker was and rearrange his face. I'm serious. I was really ticked off. And they knew, I'm sure this, I was not the first angry person that they had incited. No, they knew how to play this. And so the guy said, we'll see you in court. Because I said, who was this person, blah, 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 blah. He said, if you don't pay the bill, we'll see you in court. And then in a flash, you know, I'll say I may not be the brightest star in the universe, but I realized at that point, here I am, I don't have the money to pay these bills, let alone support a legal battle. So as they say, I tucked my tail and I said, okay, very good. Because I knew, what am I going to do now? Get into a roar and a fight, find myself incarcerated in jail. Now I've got another thing to deal with. So, you know, we all go through certain things in life. And I remember at that time, I thought, okay, I've got all these things that now I'm responsible for legally. I'll get two or three jobs. And I did, plus my professional job. And I was working, and this is why I say you got to follow the Holy Ghost. Because at that time, down here, I wasn't comfortable, but I'm like, this stuff is staring me, the pressure, the bill collectors, the calls was pressuring me to do something. And so my response was the best I knew what to do, get more income coming in. And so I remember I was coming home from this job at night, and the Holy Ghost said, I want you to go to Bible study on Wednesdays and quit this. And I'm like, oh, Lord, do you hear the bill collectors calling? You see the stuff going on? Hello? Didn't seem to change. There was no response. He said, I want you to go to Bible school, a Bible study. You need to go on Wednesdays. And so I did. And so when these calls came in and were harassing me, you know what my response was when they said, if you don't pay, we'll sue you and we'll bring you in court. And I said, see you in court. That's what I did. I did. I just dug my feet in because my feeling was if God spoke to me and told me to quit this and go to Bible study, then he's going to work in the midst of this. And I'm not going to fear. I'm serious. That was my thinking. God spoke to me. And this is what we're talking about. Have faith in God. He told me to do it. Then it's his job to make it work out. And that was my feeling about it. So when they call, harass me on the phone and call me all kinds of funny names and all of this kind of stuff and threatened me with this and that and the other, I said, okay, see you in court. Click. And then one after the other, when they would call, they would, because it was, I think I finally realized it was a game to intimidate you to pay. So then I would get one after another, they'd call back and say, well, we have a new person assigned to your case. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't afford to give you anything. I said, well, what can you give? I said, $5 a month. And they said, okay, that'll be fine. You see what I'm talking about? So I wasn't going to operate in fear of what could have happened. Because nothing happened. And that's what the devil tries to do. And I'm talking about just this one instance. But I'm just talking about in life. It's, you know, blah, 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 what if. And it's always the what if this happens, what if. When God speaks and he tells you something, you stick your feet in. That's it. You ain't moving. See? And that's exactly what we're talking about, because faith will work. And that's why when you go through the Gospels and it talks about no faith, little faith, great faith, those that had no faith or faithless, when you look at it, look at not only Peter, what did he do? He got his eyes on the circumstance. What happened to Thomas? Same thing. I'm not going to believe unless I do what? See something. See? So it's the same thing in life that we face. There are issues and circumstances that we face in life. Don't unhook from your faith. The key is find out from God and then have faith in Him. And don't move. Don't budge. I don't care if everything, if stuff, think about it. Let's just turn over here for a second. I didn't have this in my notes, but let's just look for a moment at Psalm 91. Because it reminds me of this particular scripture. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's having faith in Him. That's being under His shadow, under His protection. When I have faith in Him, I'm under His protection, under the shadow of the Almighty. When I have that, look at verse 2. I will say, why? Because I have faith in Him. I will say, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the bill collector or the doctor or whatever, right? For the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 may fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right, but it's not coming nigh me, right? There may be 10,000 that fail financially on this side and 10,000 on this side, but because I trust in Him, it's not coming nigh me. There may be 1,000 marriages that fail over here and 10,000 over here, but it ain't happening to me. Why? Because I'm trusting in Him. I'm abiding in Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's really the crux of this, that when we walking in life, the pressures of life and the things that we see and are confronted with, it's this constant drip of drip. It's this constant pressure. Thoughts. And I was sharing this recently. How many, and I don't know if I did this in a Sunday service or if you were to speak with your mouth, see, most times, here's what happens. The thoughts come, and they keep coming, and they keep coming, and you yield to the thoughts, and you say something. Well, let me ask this question. If you don't yield to the thoughts, and the thoughts come, do this little experiment. Count from 1 to 10, silent. In your mind, count 1 to 10, okay? And then at the same time, let's make a confession. Something is going to interrupt something. You can't be counting in your mind and be talking at the same time. You can't do it. So the point is that when thoughts come, speak the word. When the thoughts come, speak the word. It's going to interrupt the thoughts. It's going to interrupt them. It's the same thing. When thoughts come, start to praise, because the praise and the worship will interrupt the thoughts that kind of bombard your mind. Set your thoughts on those things that are above, not on those things that are on what? What does the scripture say? Set those things on above, not the things below. So, the key becomes setting our thoughts and our heart on God and not on works or, you know, what I was talking about before, doing these multiple jobs. Think about this scripture, Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain, right? So we can work, and if he's not in it, if he's not giving us direction, we labor in vain. So you can set off doing something, and unless he told you to go there, unless he told you to do that, you labor in vain. It's fruitless. Hallelujah. Turn over to, here's a scripture, Matthew 19. And look at this particular story, Matthew 19 and verse 16. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow who? Me. Have faith in me. Follow me. So he was asking this young man to do what? Unload his money. Reinvest. Or divest, I guess if you could, not reinvest, or divest his money. Where? In the poor, and come and follow him. But he did what? Just like some people, they trust in their money. And they hold on to it and say, I can't do that. I had that choice to make. When I first came to this ministry, God had spoken to me things that I would do in the ministry around 1980, around 1980, 81, somewhere in that time frame. And so I came to this ministry just prior to that in 82. And so I already knew, I already thought I was going to Rhema in 1980. I said, that's it, I'm going. And it didn't go that way. I remember Pastor Clinton walking up to me one day and he said, he didn't know what I was thinking about. He looked at me and he said, this is your Rhema right here. And I went, okay. I didn't tell him all that I was thinking about. And so I decided to stick here. And so those kind of things, you have a choice to make. And at that time, the Lord said, come here. And actually, the way it actually happened was 3 years, and this is kind of the way God will lead. I was going to an Assembly of God church. It was Pastor John. This young lady was used in the gifts of the Spirit. And she walked up to me one day and she said, you'll be in full-time ministry in 3 years. I said, okay. So, you know, we're immature. I'm thinking Bible school, got a, you know, full-time ministry, that kind of thing, right? Not work. Like, that's full-time ministry, going to work, right? And helping another minister. That is full-time ministry. Some people want to get behind a pulpit and you say, let's do some work. And they go, what? I want to preach. Yeah, That's the benefit. The rest of the week, you're working and you're doing something else. So, anyways, that was November of 1981. I remember it. November of 1984, 3 years to the month, Pastor Clinton walked up to me in Peace Hall, because I was going there, and he said, he came and saw me in the hallway, and he walked up to me and he said, Sarah and I see you working in the ministry. And I didn't go, I didn't say anything. I just said, okay, I'll let you know. And I knew. I knew. And so at that point, I had a choice to make. Come here or hold on to my job. I had a good job. I had I had an upper management job. I wouldn't call it an executive job, but it was an upper management job. And it was good paying, and it was a good job. And so, when I went to see Pastor Clinton and Sarah, they said, okay, we'll hire you. They didn't tell me what they were going to give me, and they weren't telling me. So I had to make a choice to make at that point to come here and work not knowing what I was going to get. And boy, when I found out, it's a good thing I didn't know, because I may not have come. I'm serious about that. Because you start looking at, I had saved a lot of money from working in corporate America. I had put money in the bank, had saved a lot of money. And so when I decided to quit, I took a deep breath when they told me. And I went, okay, no problem. I got money in the bank, you know. And the Lord has a way of just letting you just go your way, right? And not use your faith. Being honest, because I said, I got all this money. I can handle my bills. I was renting a house. I can pay that. Pay my car bills. Do all of this stuff. Running up and down the road. I was living and suffering. Running back and forth 5, 6, 7 days a week to Hackensack, doing all of this stuff, no problem. Well, after about a year and a half, we ran out of money. And now I'm like, okay, God, what am I going to do? Right. Because I had already committed now. I quit the job. And of course, they told me, the executives, because I worked directly with, you know, all the VPs and so forth, human resources said, anytime you want to come back here, just pick up the phone and call. We'll hire you right back. You're valued here. They would have hired me back. Well, I had a choice to make at that point, trust the money or trust God. And I trusted God. I started to seek Him. And He said, believe me for an extra $100 a week. Well, when the Lord tells you that, He knows that's where your faith is at. He didn't tell me to believe for $1,000 a week. First of all, the ministry wouldn't have paid me $1,000 extra a week. So for Him to tell me to believe for that kind of money, the ministry wasn't in a position or willing to add that to my salary. So He said, believe for an extra $100 a week. I did that, and within 2 weeks it came in from the ministry. Here. They just called me in and said, blah, 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 and I'm, you know, me, make great man of faith. I'm going, why am I getting this? Well, I wanted to know, you know, why. And so they just said, you're doing a great job, so we're going to add this to your paycheck. And I said, great, thank you. See, but it taught me some things that we can have faith in our money and not in God, and think, even though we're trusting God and we believe Him, but that's where we are. And we're trusting in this little nest egg that we have until it runs out. And that's no different. Where's your trust? Is it in your retirement money? Because I can tell you that can go quick. It could. Not saying I believe in that for anybody, but your little nest egg could go off it goes. And then where are you going? You're going back to Daddy. Whereas we should have had faith in him all along and not unhooked. And that's really all we're talking about, having faith in him in every area of our life and everything that we do. So many people have faith in the government and what the government's going to do for them and all of this stuff that's going on. We're to pray for the government, but whether they give me something or not is just, that's a wonderful thing. It's a benefit. Great. But don't put your trust in that, because it could be there today and gone tomorrow, and they can take it away. So put your trust in him, and then when it goes away, it's like, hey, it's coming another way. If it dries up, it's coming another way. Think about what it says here. Just a side note here. In Philippians, in 4:19, it says, but my God, who, yeah, shall supply all of your need according to his riches. I like that. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches. He didn't say, oh boy, you know what? I'm sorry, this year, it's tight. We can't help you. You know how companies do. And so, no, his riches are not limited. Amen. So we need to have our faith in him. Now, just as we're closing, we'll pick up again most likely on Sunday. But let's look at just some thoughts here. What faith is. And I'm going to look at this. These are just some definitions of faith. Look at it from what the Old Testament definitions are in the New Testament. Old Testament, it means to be firm. It means to build up. This is what faith is. To support. To be stable. To be certain. To be quiet. To be established. To be permanent. Now, when you think of those words, it makes you think of, to me, it makes me think of something that's a foundation. Well, when I think of a foundation, I think of something that's sure and something that can be built upon, right? That's what the Lord spoke about to this ministry through, I'm trying to think if it was, I believe it was Brother Copeland who spoke to Pastor Sarah. He said it took 20 plus years to build the foundation of this church. And he said some foundations, this was the wisdom of God speaking through him. He said to Pastor Sarah, he said, some foundations take longer to build than others because of what's going to be built on top of it. Whew. That's why the devil hates what's going on here. Because what God is going to build on top of what's the foundation here is beyond what you could even ask, think, or imagine. That's why when you put all of these little things, prophecies, and words that have been given by other men and women of God, you start connecting all of these things together, God is going to do something that's just way out beyond what you could even imagine. So I'm not moved by what I see. What we're moved by is when God tells you to speak and say something, you say it and keep connected. Don't disconnect. This is words in the New Testament. What is faith? These are words or definitions, I guess, or words that we could use instead of faith. Confidence, convinced, persuaded, reliance, firm persuasion, and I like this, trust. So if you trust someone, you can count on or rely on them. You have confidence in them. If I trust God, I can rely on Him. He's faithful. I have confidence in Him. And so I think I'm going to unhook here and pick up because I don't want to continue anymore. There's more to this, but I think I want to pick up on Sunday and add to this. But I think the most important thing that we can take away from this message tonight, this reminder, is that as we walk through things, you know, and Pastor Greg and I have been talking about this lately. God had to remind me recently, you know, because your mind, I'm not talking about it, but thoughts come. Thoughts come. Thoughts come. And God, ever so sweetly by His Spirit, He'll say, did I not say the first building you would take is the Sears building? Not the only building. And I said, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You did say that. You said the first building you would take. Not the only building. So there's much at stake. That's why we need not unhook from our faith, because it's not just about, I want to say it the right way. This is about the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that potentially will flow into the kingdom and be ministered to because of this particular ministry. And there's much at stake. There's lives at stake. And so what's key, what pleases God, is to continue to have faith in Him and trust and confidence in Him that He will do exactly what He said He'll do. So when He says, I will do this, see, when we start to question Him, I'm trying to remember the whole story what Brother Hagin talked about when he shared some things. And he said the Lord said to him, he told the story about when he had the vision. And he said the Lord began to teach him on the ministry of the prophet and demons and devils. And he said that particular vision, this demon or this imp got between him and the Lord, threw up some smoke, made some yakety-yak sounds. And he said, he's standing there, Brother Hagin's standing there going, in his vision going, why isn't the Lord doing anything? Why isn't He stopping this? I can't hear Him. I can't see Him. And finally, out of frustration, he said, I told this demon, in Jesus' name, stop. And he said, it just fell to the ground and whimpered. And the smoke cleared up. And he asked the Lord, and of course, the Lord knew what he was thinking. He already knew what he was thinking. So he said to him, Lord, why didn't you do anything? He said, because I couldn't. And he said, I know you meant you wouldn't. He said, no, I said I couldn't. And he said, no, Lord, I know you just said you couldn't, but you really meant you wouldn't, right? And so this went back and forth two or three times. And he said, finally, just firmly, the Lord said, no, I said I couldn't. And this is where we are in life. When God says He's going to do something and we begin to go back and forth and question and wonder, He said, no, I said, I will do this. And we just have to just say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You said you would. I believe it. Amen. Glory to God. Those are the kind of things that when we have trust and confidence in Him, then we don't waver. We don't vacillate. We don't doubt, because faith doesn't doubt. And faith, see, this is what happens. You know this. When you begin to entertain the thoughts, see, anybody who has a friend or who's married, they're your friend. Yes, they're your lover, they're your husband or wife, but they're your friend. And when thoughts come, if you trust them, if you trust them, truly trust them, and thoughts come, you go, not them. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't talk that way. They wouldn't act that way. I'm not entertaining that thought, right? Because you trust them. Somebody come to you and say, oh, I just saw your husband and wife doing this. You go, not mine. They don't act that way. Because you trust them. And so it's no different with God. How much more with Him? When the devil comes with thoughts, you ain't going to have this, you aren't going to do this, you're never going to get this. You go, not the God I serve. He said, and that's the way it is. See? And we all have been there. We entertain pressure. We entertain thoughts. We entertain doubts and fears. And then lovely, sweet Holy Spirit will come and say, yes, but remember. Remember this? And you go, yes, thank you. Thank you for jerking me out of my pity party. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes we need to have our pity party rained on. Right? A lot. Right? We've all been there. We're learning to trust, and the more we meditate upon who's in us, that God cares for me, He loves me, He's only going to do good for me, He's only going to lead me into victory in every area of my life. It may not look like it right now, but He is. He cares for me. He loves me. And the more I talk about it, the more I release words, it reminds me about how Leanne Sosaby was complaining to God. I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know you. And the Holy Ghost got up and said, are you calling me a liar? And the Holy Ghost had to begin to reveal to her. She said, yeah, but I don't know you like him. Like Brother Hagin, I don't see you, I don't feel you, I don't. And he said, how did you get saved? And so by the confession of her mouth, she began to do what? Began to confess. Not based on what she felt or saw, but based on what she believed. I believe I know you, Holy Spirit. I believe, so it's no different. That could be the Holy Ghost in a more intimate relationship, but it can be every area of our life. We walk by faith and not by what we see or feel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Amen. We're going to grow in our faith. We have faith. But sometimes we're meditating on some things and there needs to be growth in a particular area. Does there not? Needs to be growth. Amen. Father, we thank you this evening for the word of faith and the deposits into our heart. Thank you, Father, for causing us to dig down deep and place our trust upon the rock so that when the winds of life blow, we hold steady. We're not shaken. Our house is built and our foundation is built on the trust that we have on you and the Word of God. Father, we thank you and we give you glory and honor this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.